just want to talk for a few minutes about this problem that people so often run into in their lives, spiritually and otherwise, which is the idea that we were talking about when you walked in. What do you do when nothing works? When nothing you try, nothing you intend, no effort that you make has results. It seems part of the larger discourse of the moment, because often right now people are struggling with events that are not what you want them to be. And so you try to do what you can do to make them different, and often have absolutely no impact. I guess one of the first things to understand is there are things you cannot change, that you can't do anything about. They just are what they are. And the idea that nothing you can do will work is very frustrating for human beings, because we all think we have power, and we all think that there's something we can initiate that will change things. And one of the great revelations for every human being at some point is that you can do nothing, that this is out of your hands, that it is bigger than you, and that your struggle and your difficulty, your pain, your frustration simply is what it is. And it seems on some level like the worst capitulation to just say, oh well. You feel so kind of helpless, and you feel so much like a failure, because somehow it is out of your control. But in truth, much of our life is out of our control. And we don't always experience that way, because we're given this sense of capacity, the sense that there are things we can do, there's things we can affect, and often things change as a result of our wish or demand or effort. Something we do appears to have result. And we buy into that very seriously, because it makes life seem purposeful, it makes us feel worthy, it makes us feel somehow in charge of our own limited space. And then when certain circumstances occur and all of the efforts that you've used before don't work, it throws you into confusion. And the really deep truth of spiritual work is that in some ultimate sense, you are not running the show. There are times where your actions appear to be effective, but even then, they are serving something much greater than you. And when the moment comes where your actions do not affect anything, even in the midst of your deepest loss of hope, it's essential, as profoundly as you can get there, to accept that nothing is happening and there is nothing you can do. There is no easy way to eat that. There's no easy way to digest that. It takes a certain amount of deep inner adjustment or transformation to get to a point where you really honestly acknowledge that there is some higher power, if you will, that's at work, and that you are part of something that is much bigger than you, and that your own private need and personal concern is not necessarily the top of the agenda. That your pain of the moment may not have the attention of the universe in the way that you would like it to. And of course, the way that you want it to have attention is that it become eliminated. The pain becomes ameliorated in some way. That there is a change to make you comfortable. That's usually what one wants when one thinks nothing is happening. In other words, you're in pain, and all of your requests, all of your efforts, all of your abilities can't change the pain. This is a big moment for human beings because there's a sense, in a way, of betrayal. There's a sense that the universe doesn't care, that you are a victim or you are incapable of doing anything, and nothing will do anything for you. And so you feel inside a deep negation, a deep sense of, if you will, personal despair, fear, lack of faith, lack of belief. And it's a trial. It's a deep trial for every human being who arrives at this place in themselves. And it's a trial because there is nothing to hold on to. Nothing. Every effort that you've made has failed. Every prayer that you have offered has been unanswered. And so what do you do? Well, in a certain sense, the answer is nothing. Nothing meets nothingness. There's nothing you can do, and there's nothing coming back. It is what it is. Profoundly, exactly as it is. And you don't like it. In a certain sense, this is bedrock spirituality. You don't get any closer to the core than to sit down and face what you don't like and know that it is simply the way it is. Does that mean that it won't change? Does that mean that God is absent or doesn't exist? Does that mean that prayer is useless and a waste of time? Does that mean hope is useless? Well, in a sense, it does. But in another sense, it's only by meeting nothing with nothing that you can find the doorway into truth. That you can find the access point to transcendence. It's only having the universe bring you into nothingness that you can discover the power of no thing. The power of emptiness. The power of not having. The power of not being able to do. There's no other way to find it. I'm not saying it's an enjoyable trip. Anyone who's been there knows that it's not. This is not the fun part of human experience. But there's no way to ultimate truth other than through the realization that you are nothing and there's nothing you can do. And that involves a kind of suffering and a willingness to go through it. And of course, not a lot of us go through it willingly. We're forced into it, or we arrive at it, and we're not happy campers at that moment. But one way or the other, you come to face your inability, you come to face your impermanence, you come to face your lack of meaning and value. That is important, as important as you think you are to yourself and to the universe. And on some level, you are not uniquely important. And of course, what struggles in all of this and what is at greatest pain in all of this is your ego. Because finally it realizes how essentially empty it is, how essentially insignificant it is. And when you truly, truly grasp that, or allow that to come through, I can't say that there's a result to that, although there is, because you can't work toward the result, because the result isn't a result of your effort. It is simply truth meeting truth. Truth when it meets truth is. And you can't call that a result. It just is. So, what's happening here is that we simply have to live our lives. Having a spiritual life means mostly that you are attentive to this process rather than inattentive, that you are awake to the process rather than asleep. That's all it means, that you are watching it as it happens rather than just having it happen. And the value of that is the value of being awake as opposed to the value of being asleep, the value of being conscious as opposed to being unconscious. It allows you to appreciate the exquisite nature of being. Two little lessons. This morning I received a number of emails, I guess they're viral already. A story of a violinist in the Washington subway who's standing around playing the violin, has a little cup out, and he's playing beautifully, and people walk by. Most of them don't pay any attention. He's playing some of the most beautiful music imaginable. Mozart is what they describe. A few people drop pennies or even occasionally a dollar into his cup. Hardly anyone stops to listen. Some little children come by and hold on to their parents' hands and don't want to leave because they're loving it, but the parents drag them on because everybody's busy. Everybody's on their way to something else. And so almost nobody hears this musician. In the end, the musician collects $22 or something like that and leaves. And what we learn after the fact is that this musician is Joshua Bell, who's considered one of the best musicians in the world. He's standing in the subway platform playing Mozart, some of the most beautiful music ever written, and almost nobody stops to listen. The difference between going through life conscious and going through life unconscious, between going through life awake and going through life asleep, is that if you're awake and if you're conscious, you will listen. You will hear one of the great musicians of all time playing one of the great pieces of music of all time, or you will watch one of the great creations of existence, the universe that we are living in, and see it and hear it and acknowledge it for what it is, as opposed to being so busy and rushing so hard to the next thing that you miss it all. Good story. The other story is, this is minor, but interesting. when I was going to record this talk this morning, my tape recorder was out of battery, and so I decided I wouldn't record it. And that was my simple decision. The universe had said there's no battery, so you're not going to record this talk. And then Blanche said, why don't you just plug the recorder in? I said, oh, I would never have thought of that, because it's not my nature. My nature is accept the fact that it's not working and live with that, which is okay in and of itself, and not that this talk is so important, but the voice that came from outside, in a sense, transformed the moment. I couldn't do it. I didn't have the instinct to do it. Blanche had the instinct. Together, that's why we're married, the inner and the outer, the two forces working together, come up with something that works, whereas by myself, I don't function all that well. Spiritually speaking, there is me and there is the universe. And the universe addresses me in many ways, sometimes through Blanche's voice, sometimes through the voice of others in my life or circumstances, or simply what I hear on the radio or on television, or what the dogs tell me when they run up the stairs in their own excitement. Life is speaking all the time. And what you begin to realize is that even when there's nothing happening in your life, everything is happening. Even when nothing is working, everything is working. And you need to know that. Because our own mind by itself sees, if you will, a particular limited aspect of existence. But you are connected to all of existence. And if you're open enough, all of existence will speak to you, not just your own limited perception. And then finally, I'm speaking today, even though we canceled class this morning. We canceled class because there was a snowstorm upstate New York, and that we didn't want people to travel in the snow or to try to make it down our very slippery driveway. It turns out it's an unbelievably beautiful day, but who knew? What's so fascinating to me is the people who I was most concerned about driving here, Arkady and Yelena, driving all the way from Boston. I thought, I really want to save them that drive, because it's perhaps a treacherous drive, a long drive on a cold, snowy day, and that canceling class was to benefit everyone. And so here's the class. And the only people who are here are Blanche, Arkady, and Yelena. Everyone who lives nearby took the warning, took the cancellation, and said, oh, it's canceled, and we can't come. Simple, a direct statement. But Arkady and Yelena got in their car and drove through the snowstorm in Boston 3 hours to get here, in spite of our telling them, don't do it. There's problems perhaps on the road and it's bad weather. They just didn't listen to that. And the class this morning was rich and beautiful and joyous for me, because one thing, numbers never matter, and two, what matters is who brings what to the class. And simply arriving here through snowstorms to the beautiful weather that we actually have, to not take no for an answer, to simply be continually directed beyond the obstacle that presents itself, is an important teaching. And I remember from Rudy's days that when you made an effort to go to the class that was hard to go to, where the snow was coming down and you had to get on the bus and get to the class, and it was like, oh my God, how am I going to get there? You know, life made difficult. Those were always the best classes. And I don't mean to make anyone who's not here feel badly that they didn't come, but think about it. Think about what it takes to make an effort against all the obstacles that are in front of you. And think about what the potential reward for that is. It's a very important understanding. Giving into the obstacle is to allow yourself to give into a kind of defeat when a great victory is always potential and available. It just comes from not feeling defeated beforehand. If you're going to be defeated, let it happen after the fact. Not because you didn't fight the battle, but because you didn't engage the battle. There's a great lesson in making the effort. A great effort is really rewarded by the effort. So, talk for this morning. You guys have any questions at all? As I say every week, thank you for coming. I appreciate it. And see you in a few months.